Erev Tov, Rabotai. Welcome back to the first Tuesday night Hashkafa Vad of the Zman. Yeah, that's true. It's a little bit different though. Yeah, well, this is true. But this is the first official one. How's that? This past Friday, although it's something that I know very well and I see it often, but it really made me realize something about the psychology of people, which is, again, it's human nature, but we have to be aware of it in order to really formulate our lives around it. In life, I cannot stress enough the importance of having a Rebbe. In life, shailas come up. Questions in halacha, questions in hashkafa, hadracha, etza, all sorts of different things that you would talk to a Rebbe about, and it's important. If you can field the shailas yourself, many of them, why not? Go for it, that's a good sign. When questions come up, human nature in general tends to first formulate an opinion which many times is based on an agenda. I want something specific. I need something specific. And therefore, I'm going to try to formulate, let's assume we're talking about a question in halakha for a second. So I'm trying to formulate that psak halakha based on what it is that I need. That's incorrect. That's not how the Torah goes. When you have a question, you ask the shayla, mutar, asur, whatever it is, and then you have to resign yourself to the will of the Torah, either whatever you see in the Sfarim, you read in Poskim, you ask a shayla. Asking a shayla is really kind of asking conduit, a shaliach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to help you interpret the will of Hashem. And then whatever the answer is, then you say Na'aseh v'nishmanam, and you're happy about it, because Baruch Hashem, you've found out, you've uncovered the will of God, and then you move on. But it is grossly inappropriate to formulate an opinion or an agenda and then try to kind of model the halakha around that. Just to kind of have like a, you know, a lot of people have this idea in their mind, they know what they want the answer to be, and they're just looking for the right rub to rubber stamp it for them. You know that? It's not the way the Torah works. That's not emet. That's not honesty or integrity in halakha or whatever else it is that you're seeking. You want an etzah. Okay, fine. But don't come with preconceived notions and then try to formulate the etzah around that. It's not going to work. Why am I saying this? I saw a lot of, again, it is a legitimate machloket haposkim like many, many other things. Just because we pask in a certain way does not delegitimize the other shita of the poskim. Of course not. Shiv'im panim la Torah, elu v'elu divrei Elohim chayim, all wonderful. You have to be honest with yourself. You know, this past Friday, I'm not judging or looking any different than anybody who did, but haircuts and shaving this past Friday, whoa, what a balagan. Ashkenazim have a lot, but for Sfaradim, lo pashut bichlag. And I spoke about it, and whatever, and people kept on calling and whatever, and trying to push it, but what about this? And I showed them clearly, whatever, this is it. It's obvious that everybody wants to shave. It's obvious that everybody wants to take a haircut. By the way, according to the Mishnah Berura, not only that, but last Thursday night / Friday, we're allowed to get married too. So all of those people who were hard-pressed to find a wedding date, you couldn't got married, at least according to Mishnah Berura, you know, Yedat Ashkenazim, last Thursday night or Friday, it would have been fine. Whatever, you don't hear much about that. But a real person knows how to ask a shayla, and you have to position yourself to ask a shayla be'anava ve'achna'a, which means, not towards the Rav, but towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'Torah Toh Kedusha. Hashem, I want to know the answer. I want to know the right answer. Everything that we do, what is it for? La'asot nachat urach liyot serenu. I'm trying to give nachat to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You give nachat, not by trying to twist Hashem's arm into something. You want to find out what the Ritzon Hashem is. The Ritzon Hashem you find inside the Torah. Unfortunately, we don't have Nevi'im. So we have, like the Gemara says, Chacham Adif Minavi. Yes, Chacham to help you go through the Sugya. If there's a legitimate heter, lucky you. And if there's not, you have to be willing to accept it. You have to understand that many, many times I'm put into this situation as a rav, as a person who feels shilas, twisting your arm. It's not a mahala. I asked them, are you looking for a rav or are you looking for a notary? Which one do you want? Is it just a rubber stamp stuff? What's that worth? You want to use the Barashim? And many times, you know something? Convenience-based Judaism doesn't last. If your Judaism is worth only as much as the convenience that you get out of it, the comfort and the feel-good vibes that you get out of it, it's going to be very difficult to maintain that, because in life there's many things about Judaism that sometimes are uncomfortable. It's just the way it is. And we knew that getting into it when we said Na'aseh Nishma. That's why the Gemara tells us, by the way, even mitzvot, sometimes mitzvot are enjoyable. But the Gemara says in many places, mitzvot lav le'enut nitanu. Mitzvot were not given for enjoyment. Mitzvot are commandments from God Almighty. We have to execute them. Sometimes you enjoy them more, sometimes less. Sometimes they're really inconvenient. That's okay. Because lefum tzara agra. The more pain, the more suffering that a person has, b'kiyum mitzvot, the more reward you get for it. But position yourself to understand. I'm telling you the Talmidim because you're B'nai Torah. You're budding Talmidei Chachamim with Yirat Shamayim, which means that you have to be aware that sometimes the answer is going to be no. Sometimes the answer is going to be something that inconveniences you. You know how many times that happens? And stums. Very common example, Tarat HaMishpacha. People ask a bunch, you know, different shaylas, and sometimes it's Tameh. And sometimes you have to separate. And sometimes it takes a long time to get... And it's sometimes excruciatingly difficult. But that's a Ritzon Hashem. If we can, Kocha De'etera Adif, if you can find the Heter, if you can find it, that's all great. When something's us, what are you supposed to do? If you're constantly looking to make sure you are at the center, and then everything else has to surround you, Torah and Halacha revolves around you, it's not going to work. It's not tenable long term. So it's important as B'nai Torah. When you're learning, learn it b'derech emet. Sometimes also you have an idea in your head, well, let's rack up a list of all the poskim that are matir. But is that how we paskin? Are you being, even though it might be a legitimate shita, are you being honest with yourself? Honesty and integrity are the two most important midot that you have in your entire life. You need that for everything. You need that for Torah mitzvot. You need that for relationships. You need that for business. You need that for everything. If a person cannot bring himself to a level of basic honesty and integrity, then what are you? A man is his word. Yeah? It's part of honesty. You said something, hold by it. Don't flake. Don't buckle. A man is only as great as his word. You know, back in the days, many people, especially amongst Sfaradim, was very common. When they did business, they didn't even write contracts. They shook on stuff, a verbal, oh, that's it. Why? Because you gave your word on something. A man's word is priceless. Guarded at all costs. Honesty. Integrity. Show up. It's hard. There are going to be many days of your life where it's hard to get up in the morning. You're really not in the mood. And you know what? You have to show up anyway. Because what? That's integrity. Because you have to be dependable. All these midot are integral to everything you do in life, especially to build a bayit ne'eman b'Yisrael. Honesty, dependability, integrity. You cannot build any relationship without these very, very basic ingredients. It's important. It works with that. It works like that with the Torah Kedusha also. Honestly look for what does Hashem want from me at this moment. Am I supposed to know what Hashem wants from me? I don't know. Not talking to me. You don't need to. It's written in the Torah. There's a seif in Shulchan Aruch for everything. Every step in life, there's a seif in Shulchan Aruch for. You know that? And if it's not in Shulchan Aruch, it's in the later Pesukim. Everything's there. You just have to uncover it. And if you can't uncover it on your own, ask a shayla. That's great. But be mekabel. turn your eyes to heaven and say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know this may not work out for me as planned, but I want to do what you want anyway. That's what it means to be an honest Yid. Erlich. You heard that? Erlich Yid? Baruch knows. Anyway, Erlich, to be honest, upstanding, upright. That's all we have. Shlomo HaMelech writes in Mishlei, Tov Shem, Mishem in Tov. Yom HaMavit Meom Yiveledum. Back in the day, fragrant oil was very expensive. You know what's even more precious than that? Your name. We work our entire lives to build our reputations. It takes a lifetime to build a reputation. It takes a second to destroy it. Remember that. Building takes time. Destruction, in a second. Remember that. Position yourself. Ask a shayla ba'anava. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Be honest with the people around you. Honesty. Emet. Chotamo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu emet. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of all of the great midot that HaKadosh Baruch Hu embodies, what is the one that he made his signet ring? Honesty. Truth. Tiken emet le'akov chesel Avraham. Emet encompasses all of the other midot Torah. That's what it is. Okay. We'll open the floor to questions. I hope that works. Do you think they both work at the same time?
I'm not sure.
We'll figure it out. No, try it.
The Rav mentioned that halacha is not supposed to go necessarily off of what the person needs. It's more off of the how we paskin. But there are certain times where we will paskin based off what people need. For example, mamonam shalisal, akeh mamonam shalisal, and stuff. So where's the threshold between where we paskin, where we need, versus just straight?
Again, there's no question that halacha takes into considerations personal needs that a person has, lechatchilas, b'di'avad, sha'at ha'dachak, you know, things of that nature. But you can put that in the shayla. If there is room in halacha to stomach your situation, absolutely. But to try and manipulate the system when it shouldn't be, and you know, that's why you need to have a very firm grip on Torah in general, but especially Yimud HaLacha, to know when to apply this, when does it apply, when does it not. That once, let's say we, you know, this past week, that example of shaving or taking a haircut on this past Friday. I told this Faradim, I said, do you have on what to rely? Yes. But Maran Shulchan Aruch holds, no. There's no difference between this and that. Okay. You want to do it, there's no issue. I'm not, there's no judgment. Yesh chal mani smoke, whatever. But, like, you follow the Shulchan Aruch school as in many other areas, right? All of a sudden, once in a blue, right, it's very rare for the Shulchan Aruch to have a chumrah. Usually Maran is more mekin than the Ramah, in general. All of a sudden he has one chumrah and you can't handle it? I'm uncomfortable. Everybody's uncomfortable. Do you think it's comfortable to have... Everybody's uncomfortable. Guess what? People lose sight of the... We're doing this for Minhagei Avelut. The greatest spiritual holocaust in the history of Am Yisrael was the death of Talmidei Rabbi Akiva. And we suffer from it. And this is how we commemorate that. This is how we remind ourselves of it. So, okay. That's uncomfortable. Yeah, I get it. Whatever. Just the idea is the honesty. That's the big deal. Anybody else?
So
what's
like the smell test the
Rav
has that he's a Benetora, or the guy's like a certain type of
Mishulash? Mishulash isn't a triangle? Oh, is that the thing? As opposed to like a square? Yeah. You see the person's midot. You see a person's refinement. A real Benetora, regardless of the career he takes upon himself, whether he stays in Kli Kodesh or not, being a Ben Torah leaves an indelible mark for life. You have certain midot. You're refined. You speak in a certain way. Torah and mitzvot is at the forefront of your mind, even though you may happen to be working in corporate, even though you may happen to be wearing a colored shirt, or whatever kind of kippah, who cares? The point is that when Torah mitzvot is at the center of your mind and your refined erlicha edel yid, that is the mark of a ben Torah. I've seen also people who went to yeshivas and they've lost that mark throughout the years, since, because it's something that has to be cultivated. You have to maintain it. It's not a given. They're X amount of years at yeshiva and they just became grubba balabatim, and you can't even tell that they ever went to yeshiva at all. That's a travesty. It's sad. Because you know something? Once a yeshiva bachur, always a yeshiva bachur. Yeshiva bachur. Whether you're in Kailo, you're a grandpa, you're a yeshiva bachur. Everybody always used to... You know Rabbi Kirshenbaum, Nicole? He always... We both went to the Mir Yeshiva. Him many years before me. But he always jokes with me, says, we're Mir Yeshiva bachur. I'm not a bachur. He's certainly not a bachur. I'm saying, but what? But you are. You're Mir Yeshiva bachur. You stand for something. Even when you leave the yeshiva doesn't leave you. You take that with you. You take your rebbeim with you. You know, unfortunately, sometimes rebbeim pass on. Even when they're physically not with us anymore, they're inside. I can always envision, 99% of the time, if I have a shiloh or whatever, if I would ask my rebbe, I can already preempt what my rebbe would say. I hear him talking to me. I know what he's going to say. Why? Because it rubbed off. That's when you know you embody the Masorah. That's when you know you're Rebbein Torah. You have to cultivate it. You have to work on it. Otherwise... whatever, I don't want to get into too many details, but I was somewhere this past week, and the host went to a very prestigious yeshiva as a youth. Can't tell. There's a certain gathering, I don't want to say too many details, but I look at the host, I felt bad. Like, things that went on there, uncouth. You know, mamash, not lefi derech haTorah. I had to be there, whatever, I left early. Like, I was looking at him with pity. You went to yeshiva. You went to a good yeshiva. You know better. Why are you doing that? Lama. We all make mistakes. You know what I'm saying? But there's certain red lines. There's certain things, like, you hold yourself to a higher pedestal. I went to yeshiva. I have rebbeim. I learned Gemara, I learned Musar, I heard Musar Shmuzin. You know, that's why I try to impress upon the Talmidim. No matter where you go in life, you are yeshiva bachram for life. No matter where you go, East Coast, West Coast, you work, you're a Rebbe, it doesn't matter. The Torah is inside you. And that should, you know, when you're a Ben Torah, you work differently also. You know that. When you're Baal Musar, your relationships are a little bit different. Your reactions to things. That's the idea. You can look at a person and say, it's a Ben Torah. You should be able to. If not, we all have work to do. But keep that up. Always work at it. Yeah, Eitan, not only. Tell the West Coast. You're Yeshiva Bachar. It's not going to change. Good line. Okay, good.
If someone goes to a shiur and hears a rabbi say a certain halakha, yeah, and then goes to a different shiur and hears another rabbi say a halakha that contradicts another rabbi's halakha, can the person who attended both shiurs pick and choose which halakha he thinks is more makel or which one he wants to follow, or is he obligated to find out which one is, I wouldn't say real, but which one he should follow?
If you're Shiva Bachar and you hear two different Rabbanim say two different things, which is not uncommon, it happens. Guess what? Part of the tools of Yeshiva Bachar are open up Svarim, look it up. Yeah, maybe you won't get mamash to the kishkas, but open up Svarim, open up Marim Akomot, open up, you know, more than what we try to give the Bachar in Yeshiva. How much of Yevamis are you actually walking away with after this year? I don't know. Hopefully a lot. But that's Be'ezat Hashem. But you know, it's a bigger point than walking away with Gemara Be'al Peh, which is great in and of itself. You walk away with tools. You know how to take apart a Gemara, at least on a basic level. You can open up any Masechet and make a landing. If there's a shayla in halacha, you can open up a mishnah berura. You know how to navigate. Will you get stuck sometimes? Yeah, absolutely. But you have the tools. So look it up. And then afterwards, you see which way are the poskim. Who's right? Determine who's right. How do you get to the bottom of halacha? Yeah, the Rambam paskind one way. Ravid paskind another way. Maran paskind one way. Rama paskind another way. So what do? You got to learn the Kalela Ura'ah. And finally, get a Rav, get a Rebbe that's going to teach you how to paskind for yourself. And then you get to, oh, one second. So when the Mishnah Berurah has a psak that's against the Mechaber, so again, for Ashkenazim, they're fine, that's okay. But for Sfaradim, Kibbalnu Ra'ot Maran, you can't paskind that way. You learn the rules of the game along the way that's also not any less important than the actual learning that you do in the yeshiva.
What if it's something that isn't so surface level? Like just, for example, like, just making this up. If one rabbi says this certain shaver is kosher, another rabbi says this other shaver, this same exact shaver, is not kosher because the mechanism is actually lift and cut. So
you have to look into it and see what do our poskim. Look at the poskim, look at Shulchan Aruch, look at Maran Zichron Lebracha. What do they say about lift and cut? Mutar, Asur, different people have different shitot. You can ask the Rav, you can ask the Posek, why do you say it's Asur? I'd like to learn. Based on what do you say there? And then use that and delve into it more. That's the beauty of being Yeshiva Bachar. The biggest goal is, I'll tell you a story. One time, with Shlomo Zalman's grandchildren, Shlomo Zalman Erbach, his grandchildren came to him and they asked him for a bracha. And he said, Yiratzon, that you shouldn't be Ami Haaretz. And then they asked him, Saba, that's the bracha you're going to give us? Why don't you, give us a bracha to be Tamid HaChamim? He said, don't worry, it's enough just not to be an Ami Haaretz. Zema speak. So he told him, not being an Ami Haaretz is a bracha of itself. You have the kelim. And how do you become proficient? You do it more and more and more. And then have a personal rav. And if you have, aselich harav, v'istalik min asafik. If you hear machloket poskim or whatever it is, and you don't know which way to navigate, you ask your rav, you ask him for psak halacha, and then you're covered in shamayim. So, anyone else? So the Maran Zichron Racha actually discusses that in the Sefer Chazon Ovadiah. He quotes a Ramban in next week's Parsha, in Parashat Emor, that says that the days of Sefirat HaOmer have tremendous Kedusha. Shavuot doesn't have Chol HaMoed. Pesach and Sukkot have Chol HaMoed. Shavuot doesn't. What's the Chol HaMoed of Shavuot? Sefirat HaOmer. It's like an elongated, and it has tremendous Kedusha. He says very much unlike the 3 weeks, Tammuz and Av, where that's a national time of tragedy for Am Yisrael, Sefirat HaOmer is not a tragic time. It's a joyous time. It just happens to be that this tragedy, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to take Talmidei Rabbi Akiva during this time. Why? This is the time that we prepare for Kabbalat HaTorah. Preparations include on a Ben Adam LaMakom level and also on a Ben Adam LaChavero level. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu felt that they were lacking in this thing, and because they were the symbolism for the Masoret of the Torah, and they couldn't get on their level to the level that HaKadosh Baruch Hu expected them to get for Ben Adam LaChavero, Hashem took them dafka during this time. So it is a little bit of a confusing time because there's an element of tremendous Kedusha, tremendous joy, counting upwards towards Kabbalat HaTorah, but also some Minagei Avelut, because we can't not mark this tragedy of the death of Talmidei Rabbi Akiva, but it's very much not like the 3 weeks. There's a very big difference. Good. Baruch. You're the closer.
Rebbe would ask that.
Makes perfect sense. Should know. if I had to break it down statistically, I'd say probably about 85% of the shilas that I get are pretty easy to field. Either I know them offhand, or it's pretty mefurish in poskim and it's easy to look it up, whatever. The other 15% are really... There's no such thing as a dumb question, but 15% of the questions are really hard. And it's not easy, and you really have to dig. And I get stuck much more than people think. And when I get stuck, that means I have to be ma'amik more, and look more, and think about it, speak to friends, other peers, colleagues, other rabbanim, sometimes call my own rebbeim, bounce it off them, sometimes my rebbeim call me to bounce things off me. That's the beauty of a Rebbe Talmud relationship when you're dealing with two different generations of Talmidei Chachamim, that it's not considered, oh wow, it's like, it's weird for me to call my Talmud and ask him what he thinks. No, it's not weird. That's the Torah, that's your Nachat. Your Nachat is that you're able to speak to Talmud and learn it. When do I call my Rebbeim? If I'm really stuck, and again, it happens, human, usually I have a kivun, like a direction that I want to go in a certain shiloh. But in very serious shilas, you want backup. Yeah. You want to hear the opinion of another Adam Gadol. So I'll ask either a colleague that I feel is holding also in this thing, or I'll call a Rebbe of mine, a mentor of mine. It doesn't happen that often that I, you know, at a certain point, you are, it's always a good thing to ask. But especially in the world of Psak, you're supposed to, the more you do it, the more self-sufficient you become. It's not, again, to think that you know all the answers, that's foolish, and that's gaiva. I don't know all the answers, far from it. You look it up, you discuss, friends, rebbeim, whatever, but to try as much as possible to only use it, not as a crutch, but only as support, and to get a second opinion once you've already formulated something. But it's not a busha, it's a kavod gadol. One of the memchet kinyanim is pilpul chaverim, learning with friends, discussing ideas. That's a big deal, Rabotai. Thank you for coming. Laila Tov.